what the Lord has for us today.
Good morning. You guys all look lovely. It's really nice to be back. I do miss Jamaica a bit. The weather was wonderful but humid, but just being there was great. For those of you that know me, I have grown up in a missions family and done a lot of missions, had the privilege to do missions throughout most of my life. So getting to go on this trip for me was just a blessing from the Lord, and He knew that I needed it. So this morning we have the privilege and the honor of sharing with you guys about our trip to Montego Bay, Jamaica. And I say honor because as I was kind of contemplating this morning about, you know, what I was going to share and how to open, I just kind of felt, you know, kind of a weightiness on my heart and on my spirit because, you know, what we're doing this morning is so important in the kingdom of God. And the reason that it's important is because we are actively participating in the model of Christianity that Christ left for us, that the early church participated in. Just thinking about how we received the Bible, most of it was passed down through oral tradition and through eyewitness accounts. And so this morning, as we're up here sharing, you know, we're able to show you pictures and share our testimonies, whether those are about changes that God has worked in our own hearts or specific situations that we encountered in Jamaica. But all of those will work together kind of as a beautiful mosaic of what the Lord was able to do in Montego Bay, Jamaica. So, you know, I want to thank you guys in advance and just kind of ask that you would open up your hearts this morning and just kind of think about what God would want you to receive from this morning. I know that God has something special for each and every one of you, just like He had something special for each of us with going on the trip. So just be open to receiving that, you know, whether it's just a renewed passion, you know, for the Lord or, for, you know, a desire for missions. I know that God has something for each of us this morning and that if we are expecting, He will be faithful to meet us there. So thank you, guys. We did go to Jamaica, which is an island, if you aren't familiar with it. It's a pretty good-sized island. They do speak English, heavily accented, but English. So that was a giant blessing because usually on mission trips, that's such a barrier. You know, you go there and you're excited and, you know, you want to make all these relationships and they can't understand you and you can't understand them. And that's, you know, what most of us have been accustomed to. So being able to go somewhere and actually understand one another was such a relief, you know, and just really enabled us to go deeper in relationship than I've really been able to go on most mission trips that I've gone on. We went for 7 days. We left May 25th and we arrived back home June 1st. And basically, our goal with this mission trip was to assemble, customize, and distribute wheelchairs. Now, I've been on mission trips. However, this is the very first time that I have ever worked on a wheelchair. And I know that I'm not alone. We had a team of 12 that went, and I'll get to introducing them as well. But most of us had never worked on wheelchairs. So, you know, we had our prep meetings, and, you know, Kara and Mark Weberg, who are the other co-leaders, if you guys would stand up quick and turn around so they can see you guys. Kara was our physical therapist on the group. They both played in very important key roles. Thank you. Kara really showed us, you know, this is this part of the chair, you measure here and here, and we're all sitting there with our notebooks and pens, and we're like, okay, you know, got to write this down, I have to remember, you know, because once I get there, and the kids are like squirming and twisting, you know, how am I going to remember, and all this stuff, and so, you know, we're like, all right, we're going, we're going to distribute these chairs, and I don't really know what a chair looks like, but we're going to distribute them, and we're going to fit them, and I don't know how to fit them, but we're going to do it, and, you know, so we're like, all right, this is going to be great and awesome. And let me just say, it was great and awesome. And it was because of the Lord, really. You know, we are unequipped, we are unqualified, but our hearts, thank thankfully, we're in the right place, you know, and so God was able to meet us, and he did equip us in just awesome ways. And I mean, really, you know, it was such a testimony to all of us, just the way that God blessed our trip. And I know that he did that because we have all of you, you know, that you were able to send us financially, that you supported us spiritually, you prayed for us, you know, and we could feel that, you know, and just the way that God was there and was with us and anointed us so powerfully. That isn't, you know, something that we can do, something that we can bring about ourselves. That's something that he does because we have support and we have people praying for us back home. And so thank you guys for your prayers and for your support. It is because of you that we were able to go. If you all don't know, VCF did cover our airfare, and I know, at least for myself and Mark and Kara, they weren't going to be able to go on this trip financially until VCF made that commitment to do that. So, you know, it was a miracle, and it really did meet a need, and it enabled us to go and do this. So, once again, thank you guys. We have some slideshows that we're gonna show, but before that, I want to explain quickly the organization that we went with, and it's called Rock Wheels, ROC, Reach Out and Care is what it stands for, and they are a nonprofit organization based out of Montana, and basically, they have worked to patent and design different specialized wheelchairs specifically for developing countries. And so there's different types of chairs, all different shapes, sizes, depending on the specific condition of the person that you are trying to fit. And so they work to create these chairs, but then because they're not for profit, they have to partner with other organizations for funding. To do one of these Rock Wheels trips, it ends up costing thousands upon thousands of dollars because they have to purchase the chairs, which each chair is between, I think we said, $200 and $300. But then to get the chairs shipped on a container overseas somewhere is up in the thousands of dollars. Then once those chairs arrive into the country, they all do have to clear customs. Usually there's some sort of tax that's applied when you're importing something like that. So that all needs to be paid. And then all of those chairs, which, you know, you'll kind of get an idea once I show this first slideshow, but they all come in boxes. And the boxes are very tall, they're very wide, and they're very heavy. And so all of those, we had 100 for this trip, so 100 big boxes. They have to be taken up to somewhere to be housed, and then they've got to be taken to your distribution points and taken different places. So all of those transportation costs are in there too. So for this specific trip, the Rotary Club of Montego Bay, Jamaica, and the Rotary Club in Carrollton, Texas, partnered together to support this along with a couple other organizations. And so it was because of them, really, you know, also that this trip was able to happen. Without their funding, we would have gotten there and had no chairs. So you'll see them in the clips too, and really they did play a huge role. One of the people there from the Rotary Club, his name is Bhagwan, he's Indian. He was our main contact there, and he actually had been working for 1 year on this project, raising funds, setting up the local distribution points, finding families that needed chairs, all of those things. That's what he has been doing for the past year. So when we arrived there on the 25th, he was there to meet us at the airport. And I mean, for him, this has been a culmination of a year's worth of work. And so for him, you know, seeing us, he's seeing us as like this team of trained professionals. They're here from Rock Wheels. They're going to distribute all these chairs that, you know, I've worked so hard to acquire. And, you know, we're looking at him, we're like, we know you're Rotary, we don't know much about Rotary, but we know you are, and, you know, we're going to distribute these chairs somehow, so this is good, you know. So it was wonderful. They really did play a huge role. So as the team there, they saw us as being Rock Wheels, which Mark and Kara have taken other trips with them before. I think Kara said this was her 8th trip with Rock Wheels. So you'll see that kind of in the slideshow as well. And then we also did have the opportunities to inform people that we were Rock Wheels from Victory Christian Fellowship in Missouri. So it was just kind of a neat thing. Just quickly about testimonies, I just kind of felt like God wanted me to explain a little bit why testimonies are so important in the kingdom of Christ. And it's because, like I had said in the beginning, we are eyewitnesses. So, you know, for us, it kind of takes the pressure off because we don't have to come up here and spin or invent anything. We're just up here to tell firsthand what the Lord did, you know, what he did there, what he did in us. And so it's easier, you know, just being able to tell you what someone else did. And then for God, it gives him so much glory, you know, and it really does just bring joy to his heart to know that, you know, he's being glorified and he has honor being brought to his name by his children. So I'm going to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You guys can turn there if you would like to. And this is about Pentecost. And it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And so, you know, it's through those testimonies we are witnesses to what the Lord has done, what the Lord has brought about in the hearts of man. And then I have another one that I'm going to read in Matthew 24, verses 11 through 14. And this is talking about the end times and signs of Christ's return. And it says, "Many false prophets will arise and will mislead many. Because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come." And this, seeing the end, can seem negative, but for us as Christians, the end, going up to heaven to meet our Savior, is a very positive and exciting thing. And so this is talking about sharing the gospel, that the gospel will be preached to the whole world, and it's a testimony. It's us sharing what the Lord has done and what he's going to do. And so this morning, we get to be a part of that. We get to share with you what the Lord has done and what he's doing. And then there's the last one that I'll close with before showing this. It's Revelations chapter 12, verses 10 through 12. And this is also about the end times. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, 'Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. For this reason, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in the earth. Woe to them in the earth and sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he only has a short time." So testimonies, you guys, are powerful. And that's how God works, and that's how his Holy Spirit is able to come upon and share with people, is through those testimonies, is through sharing what the Lord has done. And so today, you know, we don't want to speak as ourselves. We want the Holy Spirit to speak through us, because we know that our words carry no weight, but that it is the Holy Spirit who wrought miracles in the hearts and the minds of men. And so we just want to pray quick before the slideshow. Lord, we just ask that you would be with us this morning, God, that your Holy Spirit would be here, Lord, and that we would just be such a blessing to your heart, God, that this would bring you joy, God, joy seeing what you have done, Lord, that no glory would be brought to us as men, but that we would be able to point to you, that our lives would be displays of you and displays of your affection towards mankind, God. And so we just ask that as we were able to go and do, Lord, and be hands-on, that you would just enable us to share that same passion and share that same just vigor, Lord, that you were able to display over there with our family here now, Lord, that you would just work through the pictures, work through our testimonies, God. Just be with us, Lord. I just pray that we would all leave today being inspired, being renewed, Lord, and being refreshed. We just thank you so much for your Holy Spirit and for sending your Son to die for us, Lord. We just praise you, Jesus. And you remember, you know, that was the first 2 days that we were there. It showed our loading and unloading of the chairs. And so we had one team on Sunday that had gone over to Michelle Daswani's house. She was on there. She was our other Rotary contact. And they had done the preliminary chair assembly. And then Monday morning, we all went over there and loaded them up in a big truck and took them to the hospital and started our long days of work there. So we would get there early in the morning, and then we wouldn't finish usually till 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And so all those families that you saw, they would be lined up in a waiting room with their disabled children all day. And so it would take us hours to work on each chair. The longest one, Shimario, you saw on there. Mark and Kara worked on that chair together, and that one took around 6 hours. And so depending on the condition of their bodies, most of them have pretty severe scoliosis, so they're very twisted. So something twisted doesn't fit very easily into a straight object. So we have to kind of customize it. So we add paddings and cushions and all sorts of things so that they're comfortable in their new chair. So it takes a lot of time. And the thing really I think that struck most of us, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that'll share about it, is just the patience of the Jamaican people. You know, I think about my office. I work at an optometrist office, and, you know, people come in, and if they're sitting and waiting there for 10, 15 minutes, you know, they come up and, you know, when am I going to get in? When am I going to get to see the doctor? And we're so used to that here in the States. But there, these families, they've waited for years to get chairs, and they've come, and they're waiting all day to get a chair. They don't have food. They don't have water. They're sitting in a hot waiting room, and they did not complain once. We never heard them say a word. And then when you brought them in to do their chair, they just kept saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. We're just so thankful and so grateful. And it really showed us, you know, showed me the really darkness and unthankfulness in my own heart. And so that was our first 2 days at Cornwall Regional Hospital. Christy is going to come up and share now her testimony. Christy was so wonderful to have on the trip. She has a background in journalism. And so she was our official photographer and videographer. All those photos that you've seen and that you'll continue to see, those were mostly taken by her. She has a wonderful eye, and God really did use her in awesome and amazing ways. So,
that wasn't really fair, making me watch the slideshow before I have to talk. I'm going to try to talk without crying, but excuse me if I do. As Holly said, I'm Christy Jones, and I was honored to be part of this missions trip in Jamaica, and I was the photographer and the media spokesperson, I guess. I was not an actual wheelchair mechanic, and that's really good because, as everyone saw, I am not any good with anybody's tools. So I'm going to come right now here, though, not to tell you how much God worked through me during this trip, but how much God worked in me that week. The end of 2012 was probably one of the most difficult periods of my life. As a result, my heart had become pretty hard, and I felt pretty angry and bitter towards God about a lot of things I didn't understand. So anyway, for some strange reason, he put a strong call on my heart to be part of the mission team when it was announced in church this year. And to be honest with you, I felt pretty unworthy due to my heart condition, but I went anyway. And I am so glad that I did. God was very faithful, as always, and he demonstrated 3 clear things to me while I was in Jamaica. Number one, his love for all people, even what we would call broken ones. Number two, he showed me that there's a beauty in his Holy Spirit working through his people all throughout the world. And number three, that I am completely dependent upon him for everything, just like some of those handicapped children were completely dependent on their parents for everything. And that's a really good place to be. I saw God's love for all kinds of people through the love and devotion of the parents who brought their children to us for the wheelchairs. As Holly said, some of them waited as long as 8 to 10 hours just to see us. And none of them complained as they sat in this very dimly lit, hot hospital hallway. Some of the parents had never even been able to get a wheelchair for their children. So they literally had carried their children with them everywhere, even the teenaged ones, for years. Most of the parents were smiling lovingly at their children. Most of them had them all decked out in the most beautiful, clean, well-kept clothes. They obviously loved their kids very much, even in their broken condition. I saw that God loves me that much, even in my broken spiritual condition, and that he's going to carry me and take care of me too, just like those parents took care of their children so well. I also saw that just like those handicapped kids are completely dependent on their parents for their food and their transportation and their care, I am totally dependent on God, and he will and always has taken devoted, loving care of me. As I was flying on 6 airplanes during that week, which is terrifying to me, Pastor was talking about David and his fears earlier. I am fearful of flying. I hate to fly, and I had to go on 6 airplanes, and some of them were quite turbulent. And so what am I faced with? I'm completely dependent on God. I am totally out of control. I love to drive, don't you know, because I'm in control. But God carried me through the airways safely anyway, and I was faced with that reality. And finally, I saw the fruits of the Holy Spirit beautifully displayed in God's people in Jamaica. One example of that was our bus driver, Paul, who you saw a picture of earlier. He was the Jamaican who took us everywhere, and he stayed with us all day long, every day, and we were there a long time every day, even in the heat during sometimes 10-hour workdays, and he, again, never complained. One incident that stands out for me was we were in a Jamaican restaurant one night, and the service was very slow. And again, being in America, we want everything fast. Well, it doesn't happen in Jamaica. And we were really hot and really tired and hungry, and we really wanted to eat. So our team prayed for our meal as the first few people got their dinners, so that as soon as you got your food, you could go ahead and eat, because we were all starving. Well, our driver, Paul, just sat there with his hands folded and his plate of food before him. And I kept saying, Paul, come on, it's been a long day. Go ahead, eat. And he goes, no, not till everyone is ready to eat. And he sat there, and he did not eat until every one of us got our plate of food. And then he began eating, while I had been gobbling down my food greedily for like 10 minutes before him. So I saw the fruits of patience. I saw the fruit of humility. I saw joy, the fruits of the Holy Spirit in Paul. And I want to be like him when I grow up. So I just want to thank everyone, as Holly said, for all the support financially, spiritually, with prayers that made it possible for me, who felt so unworthy, to go on this amazing trip. I hope I will become a more humble, grateful, joyful fellow believer, just like Paul, before you as a result of this trip. And I thank you for listening to me.
She really is very humble, even though she doesn't realize it. You know, she has described herself more than once as the lowliest of the team. And as we all know, it is the lowliest that in the kingdom of God has the most reward, has the biggest blessing. And she was such a huge blessing to everyone on our team, as you can tell just by her gentle spirit and her encouraging attitude, and she was just a huge asset for us. So thank you again, Christy, for your picture taking and everything that you did. You blessed us. The next person that's going to come up and share is Miss Ramona Statham. And we're all very excited that she's sharing. I know she's less than excited. But she is such an amazing woman. And I know that So many of you all contributed to her trip financially. Hers was over and above covered. I won't get into all that. I'm sure she'll share. But just wanted to let you guys know that she did wonderfully.
Well, I'm not one to get up and talk, and I thought, why did I do this? But it was amazing. And Holly and Christy, they and Karen and Mark, they just blessed me and prayed for me all the time when I thought I wasn't doing anything to help, and but I did. And them kids, God brought me here on this trip because when they announced it in church, I thought, I'm going. And then when they announced how much it was going to cost, I thought, oh, I can't go. I can't. My brother said, you're going. And I thought, I said, how do you know I'm going? He said, you're going. So God brought me on this trip. And like everybody, like Christy said, them kids really touched my heart. The ones that really touched my heart was Wednesday and Friday, we went to a children's home. And them kids, you know, they come up to you, and they don't really talk, but they understand. This one came up, and his name is Franklin, the bubbles guy. He loves to blow bubbles, and we brought bubbles, and he would blow a bubble and just shout it, bubbles, and you could hear it all over. And he was just amazing. And then this guy called, is it Beanie? B-Man, he came up to me, hugged me, and kissed me on the cheeks. And then he found out he could poke me in the side and tickle, and he thought it was funny. and I kept saying, no, 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 no. And he kept doing it. He just laughed. But everybody in that children's home, you know, some of them couldn't get out of bed. And they was just, you know, in bed, and some of them was kind of deformed, and I went into three different homes there and just looked at them kids and stuff and prayed for them. And then at the hospital, I just didn't think I would do this. You know, I never thought I would go up and pray for somebody. And while these parents was waiting long hours, I went back to the hallway. And then while they was in the room waiting to be measured, I went up to them and I asked them if they believed in God. And they said yes. And I started praying for them. And I gave out Bibles. We had so many, I don't know how many Bibles we had. And then I had some at my home I took and gave out. And this one woman said, will you write your name out? I won't never forget you. And it was just amazing how blessed we are. Because you see these little kids that can't, they're dependent on their children and, you know, everything. And they just waited and they smile at you and they talk to you. And especially B-Man and Franklin, they was my heroes. What's that called? Because I just love them so much, and I'm so thankful that y'all helped me to get on this trip. Everybody that provided money for me, I just really thank you. And Holly, I roomed with her, and she was a blessing to me. She really, and Christy Jones, she's amazing. She just hugged me and talked with me all the time and just encouraged me, and I am so thankful. And way back 5 years ago, I wouldn't have done this, and I really didn't really think that God didn't want me to go, but I prayed and prayed, and God is so awesome and amazing. And I would tell people how blessed I am and how he blessed me so many ways and still blessing me. And they looked at me and said, really? I said, yes. You just got to have God in your heart. I mean, if you don't have God, you don't have nothing. And I've been praying for my sister too, and I just wish she would come back to the Lord. But these kids, I just really am blessed for them, and thank you all. Thank you.
Yeah, what you guys just witnessed is nothing short of a miracle. You know, the way that Ramona just spoke so eloquently, that was just the Holy Spirit, you guys. So, and I know my heart was touched, and God really had a specific role that he wanted her to fill over there. On that slideshow that you saw, she was handing out Bibles, and we were all so busy, you know, fitting chairs, measuring, all of that, that, you know, the thought wasn't even able to cross our minds of, oh, you know, all these people that are here, we should be giving out the Bibles and praying with them. And Ramona was the one that the Lord put it on her heart to give out Bibles. And as she said, you know, people were very touched, and they now have the Word of God to read, and their lives are changed because of that. And so the Lord did use her in mighty ways. We're going to have James come up and share next. And James was one of our main mechanics. And really, you know, once again, he worked tirelessly without grumbling or complaining, without food, without water. So, yeah.
I really have just kind of a short testimony just of God's provision and protection through travels. You know, we had a lot of places to go, and you know, you saw our driver, Paul, was definitely very, very willing to drive us everywhere, and like Holly said, just patiently waited while we worked on chairs all day long. But, you know, any mission trip you go on, there's always going to be travel issues. There's something's going to break, something's going to happen. And you know, luckily we only had one issue, and it was seemingly just a small issue, but the Lord really just impressed on my heart that it was, you know, that it wasn't something small that I needed to tell people about how he provided. And just one of the evenings when we were headed back to where we were staying, back in the van around and getting ready to pull forward, and all of a sudden it wasn't going forward, you know, for whatever reason. And so instantly, just a flock of people, I don't know what you want, just a group of people came out, just started pushing the van into a parking place just out of the way so that they could take a look at it. Several people came by and you know, had the tools necessary and the parts and the know-how to get the van going again. I guess there was just a linkage in the transmission that had broken. But the, you know, two things about the whole situation was that was on our fun day, that we had gone, you know, we had gone to the beach and just had a day of relaxation. So we didn't have any tools with us at all. So, you know, we were totally dependent on God. And the other thing that I just really feel like I should share is just that I think the main reason that the Lord wanted me to share this was because I feel strongly that there was someone praying for that specific situation at that exact time, that the Holy Spirit just moved them to pray for that. So I just want to thank you all for all of your prayers.
Yeah, just, you know, as everybody's kind of shared, really, you know, this was such a blessed trip. You know, I don't think I can say it enough, but, you know, just everyone was, their hearts were ready to receive. You know, we had the tools and the pieces for the chairs, and, you know, the driver was there. Our van got fixed. You know, everything was remedied. And so I'll just share a quick provision testimony with that, and then we'll show our next slideshow. But we had brought two balloon pumps because, you know, we were going to pump up these balloons and, you know, give balloons out to children. And so Sunday, while the one team was out, you know, working hard and assembling the chairs beforehand, the girls and Christy and Mona and I were in the hotel room and, you know, I was teaching them how to make little dogs and how to make flowers and all this stuff, you know, and so we're kind of struggling with the balloon pumps. And I mean, I've done it a lot, so, and I didn't really remember back to when I'd first done it, but it actually is harder than it looks, you know? So we're like struggling with the balloon pumps and everything, and we broke one, and so then I'm like, all right, well, praise the Lord, I brought a spare, so I whip that out, and we're struggling, and we're pumping them up, and then we break the other one, and I'm like, all right, well, I guess the lesson's over. So we have, you know, some balloons, and we'll take those, and then, you know, I walked outside, and I'm like, all right, God, you know, what are we going to do? Like, we're in Jamaica, and it's hard to find balloon pumps in the States, let alone Montego Bay, Jamaica. So I get on the phone, and I call Kara. I'm like, hey, Kara, we kind of have a situation. You know, our balloon pumps broke. And she's like, but we have two. I'm like, yeah, they both broke. And so, you know, we've got balloons, and I have people that know how to blow balloons up now and make things, but we need a pump. So she was like, all right, you know, I'll see what I can do. So she was over at Michelle's house. Michelle's our Rotary contact. And so she tells Michelle, hey, you know, we had a situation. We broke our balloon pumps. By any chance, you know, I know it's like one in a million, but do you know where we can get a balloon pump for these specific kinds of balloons? And Michelle's like, I am the queen of animal balloons. She's like, let me tell you, I have so many balloon pumps in my house, I don't even know where I have them all. She's like, I just love making balloon animals. And Kara's like, are you kidding me? Like, who just has that as a hobby? You know, like, we just make balloon animals in our spare time. So, yeah, God provided us with a balloon pump that was much nicer than ours previously, and just kind of another testimony of the way that the Lord provided for us in just crazy, outlandish ways. Mona actually kind of prepped you guys for this next slideshow. This is about Wednesday and Friday, our days at West Haven Children's Home. And yeah, God really did some awesome and marvelous things there, and we were very ministered to by the children. So. But yeah, it started off with our time at West Haven, which I think probably almost did more in our hearts, you know, or just different maybe than what God had done the first 2 days. But most of the children at West Haven are either orphaned and they're there because of that, or parents are unable to care for their children properly because they have a disease or a disability, and so they're taken to West Haven. And so this home is all, you know, children and adults that have disabilities. And there are several different cottages. Ramona was able to visit some of those, as were some of the girls. And basically, you know, they're separated male and female, and then by ages and things like that. But the cottages have nurses or caretakers that are there that just see to their needs, you know. And Christy had kind of mentioned this. Most of us, we don't even really know what it means to have needs because we're able to be so independent, you know. But there, I mean, they have to be taken to the bathroom, they have to be changed, they have to be cleaned up, you know, they have to be fed. If they're thirsty, they have to be given water. You know, they can't, most of them just can't reach over and grab some water to drink it. And it's such a state of full dependence, you know. And I think the first day that we got there, we were taken back to a room where all of our chairs were stored, and it was right by where they do the laundry. And I mean, as you walk up and you're walking past all this laundry, you just get overtaken by the smell of urine. And I remember just thinking to myself, like, wow, God, you know, these caretakers, they really have to be called to do this, because I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it, you know, just seeing what they have to deal with, you know, to touch and wash those dirty clothes, you know, not just regular dirt, but clothes that have been peed on, drooled on, spit on, thrown up on, all that stuff every day, you know, and to care for those kids, to change them and feed them. And it just really, you know, just touched us because, you know, even though we were there to give chairs, we're only there a short time, you know, whereas these women and men are there full time and they're caring for these kids, you know, and so I know they were on our hearts as well. In the slideshow, I hope that you guys were able to kind of see that the girls, Delaney, Brianna, and Courtney, they had a specific calling and a specific place on this trip that none of the rest of us could fill. As we were all working on chairs, our workspace was very small, and we were all kind of tripping over each other. And, you know, if you're not aware, sometimes a lot of disabled kids, they like shiny things. And so tools, you know, are very shiny. And so we were like, well, we don't really want them, you know, walking away with our tools. And so we had told the girls, hey, girls, if you could, you know, kind of keep them occupied while we're in here working on the chairs, that would be great. And so, I mean, I didn't even know fully what they had done until I, you know, was getting to go through the pictures and videos. And I mean, you know, I was just sitting there crying because I'm like, you know, these girls are amazing. You know, they were, I wish I could play the video, but I can't. But they were there and they were dancing with these kids and, you know, all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, God used them so mightily on this trip, and they don't know it, you know, but he really did. And so I want to have them come up and share whatever God puts on their hearts with you guys today.
We just want to thank you guys for everybody that prayed for us, because I know that we couldn't have done this without you guys. This was probably the first really big trip I've ever done in my life, and it was out of the country with kids that we'd never seen before, doing things we'd never done before. So we needed a lot of help. I think what stuck out to me the most on this trip was just how simple and thankful everybody is in Jamaica, especially the kids with disabilities, and how simple and happy they are with their lives, even though they don't have a lot, and they're just always happy, and they're never unthankful and greedy and needy. They're happy with what they have. If they have to sit there all day in a crowded waiting room, they don't care. They're just happy they're getting a wheelchair, and they're probably laughing and smiling. I hope I can be more like them. There's these parents that have never had a wheelchair for their kids. Some of them have been carrying their kids around for like years and years. And I was sitting there thinking, if my mom had to carry me around all day for 15 years, wow, I'm not sure she'd want to. So I hope that, I hope I can be more like the kids there, honestly, because they were amazing and they were always happy, and God really showed me some things there. So,
well, I learned a lot on this missions trip. It was probably one of the best things that I've ever done, and how patient the nurses were at the children's home. And they had like Holly was saying, they had to go through a lot to take care of all these kids. And all the kids there were just so patient and loving, and they just wanted to laugh at everything. They were just, and this kid at the hospital, Rohan, him and his brother had waited for a long time to get their wheelchairs, and Rohan could walk, but he just had a problem with his back, I think, I don't know. But and he kept on moving around and looking around, and I was like, Holly, should he be doing this? And she was like, he's fine. So I gave him some toys, and we started playing. And I guess I connected with him. He was just really cute. He knew how to ride his wheelchair, so he was going everywhere with it. It was fun.
Something that really stuck out to me was when we were at the children's home, and there were just tons of children walking around with torn clothes, and their feet were cracked because they had no shoes. And but with everything that they didn't have, they still had a huge smile on their face, and they were filled with so much joy and happiness that I want to have, and we have to work for it, but those disabled children were born with it. And it was just really inspiring to see that even though they had nothing, God showed me that even though they might have nothing but with him, that they had everything. And they definitely had God's spirit in them, because children here, a lot of people in America are spoiled, and there in Jamaica, they have nothing. And when you have a lot of things, it takes the happiness away from you because you don't know what's truly important. But they had nothing, but I mean, with that, they definitely had everything, and it really just showed me that, you know, money and material and all that is worthless, because in the end, it's only God who's truly important. And those children knew that. Even if they don't know God, they were filled with the Lord's Spirit, and it was just really amazing to see that.
It's funny because I've, you know, led trips before with young adults and even adults, and had a lot more complaints, you know, on those kind of trips. And, you know, these three girls, you know, when I say we had long days, we really did have long days. And it was hot and humid, and a lot of times, you know, we wouldn't really get lunch, or if we did, it was just grab a bite and keep going. And, you know, not once did I have one of them come up to me and say, "Holly, I'm hungry," or, "Holly, how much longer?" Or, you know, "When are we going to be done?" or whatever. It was just, they knew they were there to do a job, and they did it so faithfully. So, you know, be proud of that, girls. So, yeah, God really used them, if you would give them a hand for that. Tyler Simon is going to come up and share next. He and Ashley worked as a team, and they had their own workstation, and they did chairs pretty much the whole time. And once again, you know, never heard a peep of complaint out of them. They were wonderful.
Thank you, guys. I don't really have much to share, just a short little experience. This was, again, at that same place, the West Haven Children's Home. I think it was the first day. We went up to one of the cottages, and it was me and Mona and Mark, and I just remember Mona went back to this room, and just this kid he was just laying in a bed, and I just remember seeing him there. He's just kind of propped up on like a little pillow, and I just remember seeing there was like just some flies that were kind of on him and crawling and swarming around. And I just remember like looking into his eyes. And I don't know, like at that moment, like, I don't know, that verse from Matthew, that 25:40, it was, I wrote it here. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did it for me. And that just, like, stood out. I just saw him and just saw his eyes. And, like, it's like I could just see Jesus in him. And, like, really, it just touched me. And, like, it just made me realize, like, how in a lot of ways, sometimes I just don't look at people and just see Jesus, like, in their face. And just really how I need to change and, like, just really seek that and look at people and have more compassion. I mean, I've worked on that over the last year or so. Like, I'd kind of fallen out of compassion just with the job I do. Sometimes I just deal with hard things, and just this trip has just kind of like reinvigorated that in me, and just praise God for it.
Tyler had touched on something there. He said, you know, when he looked in that kid's eyes, that, you know, he saw him, you know, and he saw Jesus. And one thing that God, you know, really kept putting on our team's hearts in the mornings, you know, when we would have our prayer and worship times, was that as Jesus, you know, saw people, you know, he saw the woman at the well, and he knew her, he knew all about her, you know, we go through life sometimes just not seeing people, you know, not seeing how they're hurting, not really wanting to know, I think, you know, for myself included. And so we just kept praying that the Lord would help us to truly see people, you know, that we would see them, that we would be able to see their hurt, to see their hearts. And, you know, the Lord did. And I know all of us, you know, are still continuing to ask God that, you know, and I think we all do need to ask God that, just in our lives every day. Lord, today help me to see people, you know, see them as you see them, and help me to see you in them too, and do this unto the least of these, my brothers. I'm going to have Kara come up and share next, and before she comes, I just get to brag on her a little bit, and oh boy, I'm going to start bawling. God works through this woman's hands like you would not believe. And he worked such miracles because of her. As I said before, she's our physical therapist on the team. And so with each chair, we would have to have Kara come over and kind of assess the situation, you know, have her figure out, okay, what size chair do I need, you know, because of the scoliosis, what pads do I need to add, or how do we need to customize, what do we need to do, Kara? And she would come over, and she would take the kids, and she would hold each kid and feel their backs and see how they move. And for all of us, it was just so beautiful, because those kids would just relax. You know, and it was like they could just feel the presence of God through her hands. And the parents, sometimes their eyes would get wide as they were watching her, because they'd never seen their kid like that. You know, they'd always seen it twisted or to the side, and all of a sudden he's sitting, and, you know, he just looks so different. And, you know, we were in the same position as them. We're just watching with awe, you know, and she doesn't realize, you know, Kara doesn't realize, I think, that she has such a gift in this. But God uses her in such mighty ways, and in ways, you know, that none of the others of us were able to be used. This is something, you know, specific that he's worked in her. And, you know, just really, if you guys could just know how much patience God has endowed her with. She is a multitasker extraordinaire, and she does so with such grace. You know, with each chair that we had to do, we had four workstations going on at once. We'd have four different kids in there. And so every once in a while, we'd all need Kara, you know, and so she'd pass by and we'd say, oh, Kara, when you get a minute, I need you, you know, I need you to look at this. And she'd say, okay. And then, you know, she'd walk a little ways further. Oh, Kara, when you get a minute, we need you, you know, we need you to look at this and make sure we're okay. And then the Rotary members were, oh, Kara, we need you to do an interview and all this stuff. And, you know, Kara's like, okay. And, you know, I mean, she never lost the smile on her face, you know, and she never showed impatience or anything, you know, throughout such long days and us needing her all the time. And so as she comes up and shares, you know, I know this isn't something that's easy for her. This is something that God is calling her to do. And so, you know, I just want you guys to be blessed by her today, and get to share a little bit of the joy that she shared with all of us. So
well, as Holly said, I'm usually not one to volunteer to speak in front of people because it makes me very nervous. But throughout the week, the Lord just kept putting something on my heart over and over again, actually during the week in Jamaica. And so I thought, okay, I know they're going to ask for volunteers for testimonies, but if I'm just quiet, everyone else will volunteer, and I won't have to. So, of course, the other day we had a couple meetings, once in Jamaica and then one here, where we were talking about who was going to give testimonies, and I actually raised my hand first because it was so much on my heart to share. And the topic of that was about gifts, the gifts that God has given us to use to serve Him. And I'll start with the one scripture that He put on my heart while we were there was 1 Peter 4:10-11. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And while we were there, I started thinking about the gifts that God had given us. And as I know we mentioned before, everybody was a little bit nervous, especially after the wheelchair training that we did. And we were talking about the different jobs that people could have. There was registration, there was measuring, there was working on the chairs, like mechanic, there was assessing the kids, taking pictures, praying, playing with the kids. And when we were talking about who wanted to actually work on the chairs, nobody raised their hand. I thought, oh boy. Okay, so I knew the three guys were going to have their tools, and that would be their roles. And I knew as the PT, I would be assessing that, each kid. And as we went to the first day, and everybody just sort of fell into a role. And Tyler and Ashley worked on chairs. Jennifer and James teamed up, and they worked on chairs. And Mark and I worked on a chair, and Holly and I think Courtney did registration the first day, and Christy had the picture-taking role, and the girls kind of filled in wherever, and it went really, really well. And I thought, wow, you know, look how God just separated each one of us into the place that He had us for that day. And then we went to day two, and some people rotated. Some people had to leave to go to a Rotary luncheon. Everybody just filled in for other people. They took other roles that they hadn't done the previous day. And I think, as a lot of people have said, nobody complained. I've been on several trips, wheelchair distributions, and this was probably the most amazing team that I've ever been on. And There was such team unity. Nobody complained. There was no bickering. There was nothing. I mean, it was so obvious that these were the 12. And of course, you know, we like the number 12, as the Rock Wheels team leader in Montana said, you know, Jesus was couldn't go wrong with 12. So our 12 were great. And later on, when we got home and I was praying about what exactly to share, I was hunting around and I was trying to find a scripture. I couldn't find it anywhere. And I thought, oh man, you know, this was what I thought I was supposed to share. But I came across another one that I know that we've all read many times. And it's one of those where when you read it, because you're so familiar with it, you read it through and your mind is like already passed and your eyes have read it and you're not really comprehending what it says. And so I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 12:14-26, but I'm going to skip around a little bit in there. Excuse me. And it says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffers together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And that's kind of a summary of everything that happened. It made me look at the team and realize, you know, I knew my role as the PT. And so many times on these trips, that's, you know, the focus is, okay, go to the PT. But I started thinking about each role that everybody played. And I thought, you know, if we were all PTs, there would be no one working on the wheelchair and we would have no pictures. Or if we all sat there and registered people all day long, not one person would walk out of the room that day with a wheelchair. And so the whole purpose would be pointless. And it was really neat to see how God used each person's gifts to just draw them into the role that they were. I mean, the people that did registration, they just did it with great ease and actually reorganized everything into a much better way than I had it to start with. And, you know, Christy took pictures where, even though she feels that was an important role, that was a huge role, because I have been on trips and come home with 3 pictures because I just don't have time to take them. And so we have hundreds upon hundreds of pictures and videos now, and it's such a blessing, I think, for all of us to look back, and because we can remember it now. Otherwise, when you have no pictures, it's hard. And, you know, the girls, just, they were amazing because they stepped in wherever was needed. And they changed roles about every half hour. And Mona was another one who was a little nervous about what her role would be, but my goodness, every time I turned around, if I was even thinking in my mind, oh man, I wish I had a drink of water, I took a step and there was Mona with a bottle of water saying, here, do you need a drink of water? And I think she did that for each one of us. So, and Jennifer and James were a mechanic team, and Tyler and Ashley were a mechanic team, and they did awesome. It's really hard to fit curvy bodies into straight wheelchairs, and just with creativity and everything. I mean, I know people were stretched doing that, but it was so awesome to see. And I just think that that God really blessed our team because we came together. I mean, we prayed every day together that our community, we would just be serving God as the body of Christ. And not one of our roles was less significant than any of the others.
Okay, I know it's getting close to time. We've got one more person sharing, so I thank you for your patience with us. Mark's going to come up and share a little bit from the Word and his experience. And Mark, I had asked him before we went if he wouldn't mind sharing every morning in our team times, and God had just kind of put that on my heart for him. And God really did use him in a mighty way just to give us what we needed, our daily manna, as we called it. So I'm just going to have him come up and share with you all now a little bit.
Well, originally I didn't even think I was going to be up here, and I actually told the pastor yesterday, yes, are you going to be sharing tomorrow? I was like, no. So he's like, oh, well, I don't know if I've been more blessed from the trip or just blessed from hearing the testimonies of all our teams here this morning. Is just something that Christy said probably hit me the hardest, talking about before she went on the trip, just about kind of having that hardness of heart towards God and maybe even a little bit of anger. And I have that too. I'd had that, you know, over the last probably 6-7 months. And when Holly had asked me before the trip if I would kind of lead the devotions every day, and something I love to do, and I said, okay, yeah. So I was just seeking the Lord before the trip, and I said, okay, Lord, what would you want me to share with the team every day? He gave me nothing. We were sitting in the airport. We had like 2 or 3 hours on a connecting flight, and everybody else went to get something to eat. I said, I'm going to stay back, and opened up the Word. I said, okay, God, it's getting crunch time. Nothing. And woke up Sunday morning and you know, the Lord just says, Mark, you need to increase your faith. I need to increase your faith. Don't you trust in me? We went to service that Sunday morning, and the gentleman that gave the message was talking about the Trinity. Just gave a dead-on message about the Trinity. God gave me a message about a Trinity and just showed me the Trinity of the three R's of ritual / religion, reverence, relationship. You see, this gentleman talked about, you know, we went to, I grew up in a religious system that was had very many rituals. Nothing wrong with rituals. You know, I even think I grew up with Lord having reverence of the Lord. I knew who he was, knew that he could do all things. Sometimes I'd honor him and give him reverence. A lot of times I wouldn't. But you see, for 35 years of my life, I never had that third part of that R, that relationship. And as this gentleman was talking, I mean, he talked a lot about the rituals, talked a lot about the reverence. You know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Talked a lot about that, nailed those head on. He never really talked about the relationship aspect. Since coming back from the trip, God's really, really has clarified something in my mind about how important that relationship is. I think about before I gave my life to the Lord and about how I had pursued life and trying to make things work in my own strength and my own understanding and how it just always came up empty. You see, ever since the fall, we all have an empty spot in our hearts that's got to be filled. We're going to fill it with something. Every single person is going to fill that empty space in their heart. 35 years of my life, I tried to fill it with me, with things. But you see, God broke me to a point that then I started. See, God was always trying to have a relationship. Those 35 years, he's always trying to have a relationship with me. He was always drawing me in his grace. But I just ignored it. But when I really came to that rock in the hard place in my life, for the first time, I really started feeling that drawing, seeing that drawing. And then I started reaching out to God. You see, a relationship is a two-way street. You see, a relationship is a desire to want to get to know something about somebody. You see, if you're trying to have a real, you know, think of your spouse, men. Think of if you're married and the first time you met your wife, it's like, oh boy, I'd like to try to get to know her a little bit better. We pursued them. See, that's what God wants us to do to him. He wants us to pursue him. You know, James 4:8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. You see, you can be in the best religious system with the best rituals and say that you have the reverence. I mean, look at the Pharisees. Look at the Jewish people of Jesus' day. Nobody could hold a candlestick to their knowledge of the word and their rituals and the things that they went through and the things that they did to make themselves look good. You see, they lacked that third R. They didn't have that relationship. I think about in the story in Luke about the story of Zacchaeus. See, this was the tax collector, the lowest of the lowly of the day. I mean, he was a cheater. He was a scoundrel. I mean, he abused people. In Luke 19:3, it says, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. See, Zacchaeus had heard about Jesus. He knew of Jesus. But you see, all his life he had denied Jesus or denied God because he was trying to live life in his own strength. But you see, he came to a point in his life that he wanted to see Jesus. You know the story. The Bible says he was a man of short stature and he climbed up in a tree so he could see over the crowd so he could just get a glimpse of Jesus. In verse 5, this is as Jesus is walking by. Jesus turns to him, looks up and says, "Hurry and come down, or I must stay in your house today." You see, Jesus is always reaching out to us. But you see, he just wants us to reach out to him. And when we do, he is faithful and just to come reside in our home. And I say this because so many things I want to share, but I'm going to say this because God put together a team of 12. I don't think it was a coincidence that it was the number 12, and God gave me so many things that I shared with the group, but I want to share this out of Revelation 22 that I had shared with the group one morning that the Lord put upon my heart. And this is talking about, you know, the New Jerusalem. And it says, "Also on either side of the river, the tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month." The tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. You see, 12 that were sent out, we're part of that tree of life. And as Kara talked about, I mean, God gave every one of us 12 a different role, gives us different talents, different abilities. You see, we were fruitful. We all had a different look, a different smell, a different taste, a different texture. And God used that to be appealing to everybody that he wanted to reach out to, which was everybody. See, God wants to reach out to everybody, every single person God wants to reach out to. So he gives us diversity in the body. But you see, why was our fruit so tasty on that trip? Well, I'm going to tell you, it didn't have anything to do with us. It had everything to do with the Spirit of God who brings unity in everybody that has that same Spirit in them. You see, it was the Spirit of God of the founders of Rock Wheels that had put upon their heart to reach out to Kara and say, "Hey, I want you and Mark to lead this trip to Jamaica." See, it was the Spirit of God then having Kara say, "Boy, be great if this our church could go. I'm going to present that to Holly and Tyler, the missions team." You see, it was the Spirit of God then that Holly and Tyler said, "Man, that sounds great." And they go to the pastor and to the elders and say, "Well, what about this?" It was the Spirit of God that stirred in the pastors and elders say, "Yeah, we're going to support this. This sounds great. I think this is what the Lord's work is." You see, it was the Spirit of God of individuals in here giving financial support, praying. When the van breaks down at a certain moment that I know somebody was praying for us. See, it's the Spirit of God that resides in every one of us. But you see, it starts with that relationship. And even as Christians, you see, our relationship with the Lord, we can get distracted in it. You know, my relationship with the Lord had gotten distracted because of unmet expectations, or maybe I'm just not feeling things at church, or, you know, maybe the praise and worship is just not playing the music that I like, or, you know, maybe people aren't raising their hands like I like, or maybe they ain't shouting out or dancing in aisles like I like, because maybe my preferences aren't being met. Well, guess what? God will allow us not to have our preferences, our desires met at times in order to show us how broken and twisted we are, like these little children we worked at, that totally dependent upon their caregiver. Well, God is our caregiver. We're 100% dependent upon our caregiver. And sometimes God will allow our expectations not to be met in order to show us our own sinfulness and the emptiness that we try to fill ourselves. You see, we can't fill it ourselves. It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. We talked about, I got to share this, and I know it's getting late, but I got to share this. Worrell, our waiter, which you saw pictures of, I was hoping somebody would speak of it, so I didn't have to, but here is a man. Our first meeting, our first dinner, I think, down in the restaurant, he was kind of standoffish, really. But as he observed us, he could tell there was something different about us. I don't say that in prideful. I say it's because of the Spirit of God in us. He could tell there was something different in us to the point that he came and asked us to pray for him. To the point when we would have one of the things that God had put upon my heart, I told Holly, I said, I really think that we need to have our daily devotion time right out in the middle where everybody can see us and hear us. I just really feel strongly about that. Well, didn't know why, but I know why. It was for Worrell. It was for Worrell. We had our time of devotions right down in the restaurant in the middle. I didn't care who was there. We didn't care who was there. But you know what? There was one morning that this waiter, Worrell, he was cleaning this table so he could be in earshot of us. He climbed up in that tree so he could hear us. And somebody on the team, I don't know, somebody made the comments of, that's got to be the best clean table in the restaurant, because he sat there for 20 minutes wiping down his table. And the whole time, he's looking at us, wiping his table, being drawed. But that's also the morning that he came to us and asked for prayer. Ramona Statham didn't feel like she was worthy of going on this trip. I'm going to tell you, God worked at her in a mighty way. When I was working on a wheelchair of one of his little kids, she came over and talked to the mom, and she asked the mom, like, do you know God? I don't even remember what the mom said. But I heard Ramona say this simple word that says, I know God, and I know what he's done for me. See, here's a Bible. That afternoon, a man that worked at the hospital, his name was Christopher, he came down. I think he talked to Christy first. And he said, I heard about you guys. I had to come see for myself. What's going on here? I got to talking to him. He told me how he had grew up in church, but has fallen away from God and just didn't even really know where he's at. And at that very moment, the Holy Spirit brought back to what I heard Mona talking to this lady, and God just said to me to speak to him, do you want what you see here? And that gentleman said, yes, I do. You know, so I could have got all spiritual in here. Let's lead him through this sinner's prayer, but God said, just to ask him, do you want what you see here? When he said yes, well, let's just pray. And I just prayed that God would fill him with that, would fill him with that desire. I don't know what God done in that man's heart, but I know he had a Zacchaeus heart that he saw God and he wanted it. We see God working in the Spirit through us, made us attractive to those around us, that they saw it, they wanted it. They didn't want us. They wanted Jesus. Keep your relationship strong with the Lord. Let your light shine. Let you be that tasty fruit that others desire. And who knows what Jesus can do.
That really touched me was when every morning we would go and we would meet for breakfast, and then at breakfast Holly would lead us in some songs, and she just is so amazing how she sings, and she's got such a beautiful voice that I just enjoy going down there and singing songs with Holly.
Awesome. What a great day. Let's stand together. What a great day. I want to pray today with you. I want to commend you as a church. There's sowing and reaping that goes on. And the Spirit has been working. The Spirit's been working since the beginning of this time together. And there was a prayer given at one point over the offering today. John Cawthorn had prayed. He said, I will not steal from God. We will not steal from God. You know, when you give of yourself to God, the Bible says that the one that gives to the poor lends to the Lord, he will surely repay. And I want to commend you. This church is a group of givers and servers. You don't hear a lot about money, and this isn't even about money right now. You don't hear a lot about it from here because there's a lot of cheerful givers here in the church. Money, energy, service. And this was a microcosm. It's an outgrowth. It's a fruit, Mark, like we were talking about. What was experienced here and what we just experienced is a fruit of what God is doing in our church. We're tapped into the Lord and we're rooted into the vine. And of course, these type of wonderful expressions are going to happen. And so I want to encourage you. I want to commend you. Thank you for doing really what's in your best interest, that you give unto the Lord of yourself. And that all of us that are tied in, that we've got a heart for this family. And we serve here, we pray, and we connect, and we just see a need and love on each other and forgive each other. All of that is acceptable worship to God. He's very pleased with such service. And so continue.